This is
Creator Culture
by Hashtag Paid.
Hey, I'm Danny Desatnik, and this is a podcast all about creators. No matter the size of their audience, the creators that come on this podcast are underrated and people I'd want to theoretically invest in. Today's guest is Spencer Barbosa. She's a ball of energy. Watch her videos and you'll notice that she puts every ounce of effort into her career. Many young girls look at Spencer as a source of inspiration around body positivity and confidence. And in just over 2 years, she's grown a following on TikTok to 8.3 million people and has her own clothing line. It's amazing to see someone making such an immense impact with content so early on in their career. And before we get to the episode, here are three things about Spencer I think you should know. First is she used to be on a Disney Channel show and has been acting ever since she was 9 years old. I guess it kind of makes sense. The second thing is she's been posting 3 times a day ever since joining TikTok. Now that is the definition of commitment. And the third thing is she's decided to pursue content creation instead of go to university. And that was a couple of years ago, but she found her calling and she's diving right into it. And with that, let's get to the good stuff. Here's my conversation with Spencer Barbosa. What does it mean to have 8.3 million people following you on TikTok? Like, what is that? Like, how do you conceive of that number?
I don't even know how to like wrap my head around it because it feels like nothing's changed, but also everything's changed. So like 8.3 million people is a lot of people. I'm like, I don't even know like 8 people. So 8.3 million is a lot of people. But it's so hard to wrap my head around it because it feels like I can remember hitting the 1 million milestone and being so stoked about it. But I think because I haven't changed as a person, like it feels like nothing else has changed. Do you know what I mean? Like if somebody even asks me now, like how many followers I had in my head, I'm still at the 1 million. So every day when I see the 8, I'm like, what? But it definitely feels very special. It feels crazy because in like high school and stuff, I didn't have like a lot of friends. I was never a popular person. So to feel like I have like 8.3 million people who are on my side, who like believe in me, I definitely feel more empowered every day.
Yeah. You said you feel like you haven't changed, yet what's changed is the amount of people following you. How do you stay grounded? How do you make sure that 8.3 and as it continues to grow and every video that you put out that goes viral that has like millions of supposed views, how do you stay grounded? Like, what's your system for staying grounded?
Honestly, I think my family keeps me really grounded because if I ever went home and act like I was so cool or anything, my dad would be like, who do you think you are? Like, you're still, my nickname at home is Donut. So my dad would be like, you're still a donut. Like, who do you think you are? I think my family keeps me very grounded. My brother loves to remind me that none of his friends know who I am and nobody follows me. And he's 18. So he's like the age group of people who would follow me and girls who would follow me. But I feel like I've stayed very grounded just from like being friends with people who are like real university students. Like they're not going to treat me any different, or being friends with people that have known me before. But definitely my family, like they would not let me act any kind of way. They'd be like, what's going on? What's wrong with you? You're still Spencer. So I could never change on them.
Yeah, no, that's so cool to hear. Has your family always been extremely supportive of anything creative or anything that you've wanted to do?
So I wanted to do acting since I was very little. So I've always wanted to be the annoying person on screen, being really loud. Like I've just always been an attention seeker in that kind of way. So they've always been very supportive of it. When I first started doing TikTok, my dad was like, what are you doing? My dad's Portuguese. So he's very hardworking, he does hardwood floors. Like a lot of people in my family are like contractors, construction, that kind of stuff. So my dad was like, what are you doing? Are you just sitting in your room on your phone all day? Like get a life, get a job. And I was like, no, I'm working. I'm doing something, I promise. So I feel like at first I had to prove to my dad that I wasn't just being lazy. And then when I was like, dad, so I'm actually not going to university. I'm actually going to quit my job and I'm going to move. He was like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? But I think definitely now he's like the person who, when he does his like hardwood floors, he's telling his clients, my daughter's a TikToker. Like he's very supportive now. But at first it was definitely, he thought it was just on my phone doing nothing. But now the whole family is very supportive and they love what I do.
Okay, so two questions come from this. One, What do you think was the moment for him or your mom that they saw, oh, this is real? Like, this is a real job. Oh, Spencer's doing it. Oh, Spencer's making an income from it. Like, what was that moment, or what do you think was that proof point that gave them the confidence in what you were doing?
I think for my mom, it was probably when I got a manager. So I got my manager reached out when I was at 150K on TikTok. So very, very beginning. And when I signed with a manager in LA, my mom was like, okay, this is cool. And I remember my first brand deal was like for $200 or something. Like, it started obviously smaller. I was a smaller creator. And even then I was like, mom, like, this is me working at Dairy Queen. Like, I'm making way more, because I used to work at Dairy Queen. I'm like, I'm making way more doing a brand deal than I am working at Dairy Queen. Like, this is wild to me. For my dad, it would probably be when I moved out, because it was just like such a, like a moment. Like, I'm doing this. I didn't ask my parents for money. My parents have never, even like my parents my entire life have never paid for one of my phone bills. Like, my parents never pay for anything. So when I was able to be like, dad, I'm moving out. Do you want to come see my like apartment that I'm renting? He was like, holy, like, you're doing this. You didn't need any of our money. I feel like that was the changing moment in his mind when he's like, okay, she's taking care of herself. Like, she's doing it. It was very, very exciting for me, though. Like, moving out was everything to me. I was so excited.
You know, what's super interesting to hear is, from my view, there's a big issue in the space, in the creator influencer space, of like lack of creator development, because it seems like everything's for free. You get your audience for free. You post, you go viral for free, products for free, this for free, that for free. Yet, to your point, like, you keep calling it a job, which I think is so cool to hear. Like, this is the job to you. Like, this is the career to you. And you've had to go through these different things. You've had to move out on your own and be self-sustaining and then make the income you needed to get to the next spot and get to the next spot and get to the next spot. I feel like you've, whether it was conscious or not, you've built like really strong foundations in terms of work ethic and drive and goals and persistence as a creator. I don't know. I don't see that often, because usually it's like, oh, cool, blow up, like 5, 6, 7 mil. Great. Now I'm sitting back and I'm just waiting for everything to come to me. It feels like you still have such a drive to keep going.
Well, I'm like, even to this day, like, even now when I have like 8.3 on TikTok, I still go on LinkedIn and I connect with people who work with the companies that I want to work with. Like, even now, I'm like, it doesn't just come to me. Like, I will do anything to work with the people that I want to. And I think it all comes down to just like how I was raised by my parents. Like, I worked 3 jobs in high school because I was like, I'm going to buy a house as soon as I get out of high school. Like, I've just always been super driven. And whether I was working, wherever I was working, I'm like, I was only working at like Dairy Queen, or I owned a clothing brand before I even did TikTok. Like, no matter what I was doing, I always wanted to like do it to the best of my abilities and better. So even now, I'll never just sit back and be like, oh, my manager will get me the job. No, I'm like on LinkedIn connecting with people, getting anyone's emails. I reach out to so many companies on my own, as well as my manager does it. Cause like, I want to do like everything that I want to do. And I have a bucket list and I'm like, I'm going to finish it. And I probably look really weird when I'm on LinkedIn and I'm like, hey, can I get your email so I can send you my media kit? I'm like, hey, but I love it. I'm like, that to me is a part of being an influencer, and a lot of other influencers don't do it, but that's just a part of the job. You just got to have that drive.
I feel like a lot of people, well, I'm not going to blanket this, but I feel like creators, when they get management, I think it's pretty similar to artists when they get signed to labels. It's like, oh, great, I'm taken care of. Like, now I've kind of made it. What's the relationship like between you and your manager, or you and your manager and agent?
So I have, I'm with a management company called Mismanaged, and I have 2 managers. So I would consider them like my best friends, but also my boss at the same time. Like, I text my manager like 100 times a day. We talk all day, all the time. I'll talk to her about anything. I'll talk to her. When I first started dating my boyfriend, I would send her pictures of my boyfriend and be like, this is what he did. He's so cute. Da, da, da. I'll talk to her about my friend problems. Like, they're my best friend, but also they'll be like, get your butt to work. Like, you got this you need to do. Stop texting me. Go get stuff done. So they're like my best friend. And I feel like I tell them everything, but they're also, there's a line where they're like, get working. Come on. You got to get going. But I like that I talk to my manager a lot. If I didn't, I would feel like, I didn't know what was going on in my life. And I like to be very involved in everything.
Do you see that as a potential flaw or do you see that as a superpower, wanting to be involved in everything?
I would say a superpower because even with my clothing brand, a lot of people think that I just have a company that's printing it, shipping it, doing everything for me. When I'm like, nah, like there is a company that's helped me with it, but I want the behind the scenes of everything. We call all the time. We have meetings every week. And I'm like, what's going on? Or if I see a comment that somebody didn't get an email back about their order, I send it to them. I'm like, what's going on? This needs to be happening. Like this needs to whatever, whatever. Some of my designs, like people think I just have a random designer who's like, oh, this would be good. But some of the designs are literally like my handwriting. Like I'm very involved in everything I do. It could also be a flaw though, because I spread myself very thin and I try and do a million things at once, but it always happens. Like it always gets done. But I like to be very involved because I don't want to just like put my name on anything. I want everything to be done by me and like with my whole heart and soul. Everything I do, I always put my like everything into it.
Yeah. When you look back into your life, have you always done that? Has that always been the mentality? Just put everything you can into the thing that's in front of you?
Yeah, I've never like done anything like half and just been like, oh, this is good. Even in school, a project could just be like a participation mark. And I'm like, I'm going to get a 100%. Like, I'm going to do so good, waste so much time, but it's going to be the best project. I've just always been like that.
Cool. And so why no university or why no college?
I feel like I just love my job so much. I'm so content with my job that I'm doing my job without it. So I don't like see myself doing it. The only thing that I do want to go to school for eventually is I want to get my real estate license because I love real estate. So that was what I was going to do if TikTok didn't happen. I did apply to school. I did get into school, but then I was like, I love the job I'm doing. I'm good here for now. I might as well do it.
Yeah. You know, and I think there's so much respect there. There's the idea of, I think so many of us will just go to school, go to post-secondary just because it's like the thing to do. And then you go for 4 years and then you finish the 4 years and then you start working and then you're like, oh, if only I knew everything now, then like I would have done it so differently. So I think it's cool to see that you said, no, like not for me. I'm going to ride what I think is super important and what I really enjoy doing now that's working really well. And if you ever do go back to school, it's probably going to be so much more valuable for you because you're so focused on what it is you want out of school versus you're just going to school for the fact that this is supposedly how it happens.
Yeah. And my parents were never like, you have to go to school or go to school. Like my parents were very much like, take a year off, please figure out what you want to do before you start paying for school. And then you're like, yeah, no, I didn't want this degree. I don't know what I want to do. My parents were very much, neither of them went to school. So they didn't expect us to go to school. They just wanted us to find what job we wanted to do and what would make us happy. And I knew that if I went to school, I was applying for marketing, for communications, and something else with social media where like I'm just doing it now. Like I didn't go to school to learn it. I just kind of learned it as I did it. And I made a lot of mistakes. And maybe if I went to school, I didn't make as many mistakes, but I'm the kind of person who I have to learn from my mistakes. And not to say that like, don't go to school, waste time. I think that if you know what you want to do, then it's wonderful. But I had no idea. I literally had no idea.
So then you talk about going to school and or potentially going to school and like, as you said, maybe marketing, maybe comms. At the end of the day, that's your job. That's what you're doing now, which is what's gotten you to 8.3 mil and across many different platforms too. But I think it then comes back to, oh, you're only 20. Like, you don't know what you're talking about when it comes to marketing. You don't know. Like, I'm sure there's that level of ageism when you speak to companies or you speak to other people in the space being like, hey, thank you for your 8.3. Like, let us show you what you need to do and go forward. How do you deal with ageism? Because I feel like I'm not so much older than you and I get it a little bit. So I can't imagine what it's like at 20 years old.
Yeah, it drives me insane. Like literally drives me insane because if you're younger than somebody and you defend yourself to them, it's like, you don't respect me. Like you just wait until you see what happens. Like you're going to learn the hard way. And it's not even just ageism, but it's ageism. And I work a job that's not a normal job. So even within buying a house is like, you're that young and you don't have like a normal job. Like what's your 9 to 5? Or when I was trying to get a credit card, I couldn't get a credit card. Nobody would give me a credit card because they're like, your job isn't a legit job. I even had someone at the bank who was like high up at the bank, and they called me and they were like, I'm really concerned. Like, you're not in school. Like, you're, what are you doing? And I literally had my mom call the bank after and be like, you have no right to be like that. Because if I defend myself, then I'm being mean to somebody who's older than me, and I'm not respecting like my elders, where I'm like, I didn't mean to disrespect anyone, but I just get disrespected a lot by people about my job, and then about me seeming like, oh, like hotshot, knows what she's talking about. But also, the only reason I know is because I've made so many mistakes. And like I said, I started acting when I was 9. Like, I've learned a lot about being like self-employed since I was 9. Like, I worked 3 jobs in high school. I've always just been working. So I've made a lot of mistakes. I've learned from my parents. But people just, I feel like people will make comments even if you're young or if you're old. I just get, let that like frustration fuel me. And when people are like, I don't even, just like a lot of guys mansplain my job to me. I think because I'm a young girl, I'm just honestly used to it, whether it's ageism, whether it's like sexism, because I used to talk a lot about finance on my TikTok, and it's like, oh, God forbid a girl talks about finance and she knows what she's talking about. It's like the worst thing in the world. So I feel like at this point in my life, I'm just kind of used to it, and it just fuels my fire forever.
Do you find that you succeed when you act out of spite, or you act with that like little bit of a chip or a little bit of revenge in you?
I think so. Because I'm not a competitive person with other people. I'm very, very competitive with myself. And then also just like being bullied in high school a lot has made me be like, oh, well, screw them. I'm going to do this. Like, I've got this. Because it was like tough in high school. Like, I didn't have anyone. Like, I was the kid who literally ate lunch alone in the library. So I was very used to just, even like when we're talking about ageism, I'm like, I'm just used to it at this point. I'm used to people just having comments about things. So I feel like it definitely fuels my fire.
We talk ageism. What are the things that come up the most when it comes to age? Like, what will people say when it's like, oh, but you're just X, or in the tone of, oh, but you're just 20? Like, are there certain subjects or certain areas that you find anyone you're dealing with will usually go to and use that as an excuse?
I think like the biggest thing is just like, oh, you have rich parents, must be nice. Or your daddy bought you that, must be nice. Just because I'm like, even when I bought my car, I have wanted a Jeep my entire life, has been my dream. And I bought myself a Jeep last year, and everyone's like, oh, like daddy's money, must be nice. Like, it's, or even I just posted that I bought a house, and my parents honestly have paid $0 for my house. My parents have paid for nothing. Like, it's been all my own money. And it's just like, oh, your parents bought you a house. Like, say thanks to your parents for that. And it's always just comments about how, because I'm young, I didn't make my own money, and my parents aren't rich either. So it's not like I'm getting this comment and my parents are super rich and they did buy anything for me. I just get frustrated because I always have to prove that it's not because I have rich parents, or prove that it's not daddy's money. But also, I'm like, I don't have to prove anything to anyone. Like, I hate it.
As someone who deals with this often, it sounds like, how do you compartmentalize? Like, how do you make sure that the energy and everything you're putting towards work stays in that passion and doesn't get so caught up in the frustration of other people aren't seeing me for who I am? Other people are like having these baseless claims as to like how I'm living my life and how I'm succeeding. How do you find the ability to compartmentalize and to stay that confident person that you are?
I feel like through building my entire platform, it's always grown because I've always been very true to who I am and very open about how I'm feeling in the day. And the person that I am on TikTok is the person that I am in real life. If I was faking it, I would be really exhausted at this point. And I feel like the reason I can post all the time is because I'm being myself. And like, when I get really frustrated by a rude comment, I will fully and openly post on my TikTok or post on my Instagram story and be like, this comment is pissing me off. Like, this is not real. This is not true. And I think the fact that I post on my account as if it's a spam account and I post to my followers like they're my best friend, they see my frustration, they see me for who I am. And I feel like I don't have to prove to them that this is happening, like that it's not daddy's money. Like, I don't have to prove to them, because my followers, I feel like they know me. And I don't know, I just kind of laugh at comments sometimes. And my mom or my boyfriend will get so mad by a comment and they'll want to comment back to them. But it's just such a waste of like energy and time that I don't like respond back to hate comments or hate messages, or even if people are like questioning me as a person. Or I notice when you start to gain followers, more people are like, she gives me a bad vibe, or like they just like dig into it and dig into everything I say. But I think that I've built this following where my real followers know who I am. So I don't have to like prove anything to them. I don't know if that even answered the question, but there's my rant.
No, I'm with you. No, and I think it's a tough thing to deal with. We're not used to, and we shouldn't be subject to all this hate and all this atrocious behavior every single day. Like, that's not normal. You grow up in your house, you hopefully have some type of loving house, and then you have your friends that are supposedly hopefully your friends, and maybe there's a bully at school, but maybe there's not, and maybe you can find ways to only see them during one class. This, it's consistent every single day. There's always going to be something, and to your point, as you get bigger, it only gets worse, which is so twisted.
And the way that I always think about it, or if there's like a hate comment, or the way that, I don't know, I'm like, this is how I think about it, is imagine if you're like 18, you're 20, and you make stupid mistakes, or you say stupid things that you're saying because you're immature, and then there's like 8 million people staring at you, or someone takes what you said the wrong way. I would never say anything mean to hurt anyone in my entire life. That's just not who I am. But if I said something and it was taken the wrong way, then it can be twisted and 8 million people are staring at you. And I'm sure so many people, I'm like, I didn't have a following in high school. And I'm sure that in high school, you make mistakes and you're growing as a person. Now you have like all these eyes on you. I don't know. I couldn't imagine having a following in high school. I'm so happy that I gained my following once I was very like sure in who I am and very confident with who I am. But I couldn't imagine, I see a lot of people on TikTok, like cancel culture, and it would be, they're like canceling like a 14-year-old girl, but I'm like, everyone makes a mistake, you know what I mean? I'm even a creator, and I'm like, I couldn't imagine that. Like the stress of just having like 8 million eyes on you when you're growing up.
Yeah. So then let me give you a hypothetical. Do you wish you didn't have 8.3 million right now?
Not at all. I'm like, I love what I do so much that it's like, I love everything that it comes with.
Cool. No, I'm for that. You talk high school. And I remember, I heard you say in an interview, like, I was that kid. I think you even said, I was that cringy kid in high school who had a YouTube channel. But you know, like when I heard that, I was like, that's so weird, because all the stats are all like, oh, every 7 to 14-year-old, like 25 or 50% of them want to be creators. Did you still find that? So was there no respect, or were creators still supposed cringe in high school?
What I have learned is like, people don't respect you as a creator unless you have a following to back you, but you can't become a creator unless you act like you have a following. So I would be in high school, like making these public interviews in the halls of my high school, or asking guys questions and making these YouTube videos, but it was cringe. It was embarrassing. Nobody watched it. Like, but I just kept doing it, even if people were like, what are you doing? Ew. Like, have you seen Spencer's new YouTube video? Like, what is she doing? She's acting like she's famous. And I feel like you just have to be cringe to be iconic. I'm like, you have to be cringe to be something. So I'm happy I did that. But I know that a ton of people in high school want to become a TikToker or want to become a YouTuber, but this fear of being made fun of holds them back so much. And like you said, the funny thing is, like, half of the people want to become a creator. So why are they making fun of each other?
Yeah.
Like, it's weird.
Okay, you say that to be iconic, you have to be cringe. Tell me more about that. That's super interesting.
I feel like you just have to embarrass yourself to, I don't know, like, be iconic. I was so cringe. I still am cringe. Like, half the things I do, I rewatch my story. I'm like, why did you post that? Like, what? And I post the craziest things, and people probably think, like, I don't know, they probably think I'm crazy, but it's just my personality. And I just let my intrusive thoughts just be posted and be me and being cringe to be iconic. I feel like that's what got me through the, you're so cringe, you're embarrassing. You gotta be embarrassed.
Well, so the reason I asked you more about that is a guy named Ed Catmull. And Ed Catmull was one of the founders of Pixar. And he always talks about how the greatest films always start off as ugly babies. He's like, the story has to be bad. Like, maybe the idea is kind of cool. So maybe it's like the life, you know, the kid's going to grow up to be something cool, but they're ugly as shit. And you have to work it and you have to get other people's opinions. And then, so when you said that, I was like, oh, that's interesting, because he says something so similar to making films, and him and Pixar have made some of the most iconic animation films ever. And so it's cool to see that there's a bit of a parallel between what his perspective is and how you see the world.
It's like that quote, how people always say that they're funny because they got bullied in elementary school. Like, before they were good looking, before they had a glow up, like, they got bullied. And now they're funny. Now they have a personality and they're good looking. I always see that on TikTok and I'm like, that's honestly how it starts. Is you got to be like the ugly duckling who gets bullied, but now you have a personality and now you're funny.
Mm. And it makes for an amazing story. But so throughout all this, the past couple of minutes, when we're talking high school, we're talking cringe, talking being a creator, like, you have a ton of confidence. And you continue to have a ton of confidence, even if you tell me you look back at your story and that's cringe. Where does that confidence come from? And or maybe the better question is, how do you go about building confidence today, over the past 2 years, maybe in the future?
When I started my account, it was like teaching girls how to love their bodies. I think I've always had confidence in my personality. I have a very big personality. I'm annoying. I'm like, I've learned that. I've embraced that. I love that part of me. I've always been very confident in my voice and my actual personality and who I am, but I wasn't very confident in my body. So I started my account by teaching girls how to be confident in their body. I was not confident in my body. That's how I learned how to be confident in my body, was through teaching other people and learning that, okay, I'm not the only person who feels like this. I'm not the only girl who has these insecurities. And I think through building a community of a bunch of people who felt the same way about their body and felt like they could turn to me to teach them how to be confident, I was like, holy shit, I need to learn how to be confident. So through teaching people, I learned how to be confident. And now I feel like everything I say definitely has more meaning to me. But it was a make it till you make it kind of moment. And let's be real. I'm like, what 18-year-old girl really loves their bodies all the time? I say bodies, body. What 18-year-old girl really loves her body all the time? I can only speak for a girl, because like, that's just my perspective. But a lot of girls struggle with confidence. So I think that already liking my personality, I was like, girl, like, you got to learn how to like it all. I can't be fully successful the way I want to be, or like, I can't be insecure. And I basically just had to realize that and tell myself, like, I can't be insecure. And the insecurities I had were literally stupid, just because of the media or just because of what I've heard and what I've seen. And that's, I'm like, that's stupid. That's an invalid insecurity, because it's just been taught on me. Like, I'm not actually insecure about the things I'm insecure about. It's just been so ingrained in my mind and in so many people's minds that you look like this, you have to be insecure. Like, I love food. I eat a lot of food. I will never stop myself from eating as much as I eat. Like, I could eat like a food competition person. Like, I love eating. So I do have a little extra belly, and I've always had it. And I've never, like, how can I hate it when I love food? How can I hate it when I love myself? How can I hate it when I love my personality? And I think I had to learn so much more to my body, and then teach girls that there's so much more to their body. And when I was growing up, it's like, the Barbie and what a Barbie looks like and what girls in the magazines look like. And I never looked like them. Like, my body never looked like them. So I think now that I'm older, I wish I could turn back to that girl and be like, yeah, no, you don't need to look like that. Like, there's a reason you don't look like that, is because that's not real. You don't look like that. So now through teaching other people how to be confident, I've gained confidence, and I want to continue to do this and just not have the 13-year-old girl who's like, I don't look like that. I hate myself, because that's not happening. I don't know. I'm like, I just love being confident, and I love teaching people how to be confident. It's just like my superpower, I think.
Yeah. I almost heard like two themes. One is like, lean into your competitive advantage. You're like, I love my personality. Like, I have so much confidence there. So like, build out of that competitive advantage. And the other one was really cool too, where you're like, I have a place I really want to get to. Like, I have a lot to succeed. I have a lot to achieve. Like, there's no time. There's no time to worry about this stuff, because there's so much to do. So I think those two things are really interesting to hear. And I heard you talk about, I think this was on a TikTok, maybe as to like, you were manifesting 2022 or talking about goals or something like that. And you said that you want to work with Barbie and create your own Barbie doll, like the Spencer Barbosa Barbie doll. How did that idea come to be?
That is my dream, like my end all. I do that. Okay, good. Like, that's everything to me. Just because, like I was saying, when we were younger, Barbie has done the most amazing job ever rebranding themselves, in my opinion. I think that when I was younger, I didn't have Barbies that were like paramedics or Barbies that looked like the body I had. Now Barbie makes real girls Barbies, and I love that. I want to have a Spencer Rosa Barbie that is iconic. I'm like, I want her to have a real body, and I want the Barbie to be about not just being a good-looking Barbie, but actually following her dreams. And like you were saying, what I said, that I have so much to do. I don't have time to hate myself, hate my body, and let that bring me back and bring me down, because my body really is just the shell to who I am. And I want to create a Barbie that is empowered and empowers other girls to love themselves and like a real shape of a real human, you know? I'm not like tall and long, like I'm just not that at all. And I want to create a Barbie that has a shape of a real girl and has a real story and isn't just sitting around and being pretty and waiting for a boy to save her. Because those are the movies I watched when I was growing up. Like I watched all those movies of beautiful princesses and I wanted to be a princess. And I love the movies even that we're making now that are like Moana, where she's going out and just tackling it herself. So I'm like, okay, Barbie's end all, but also like one day I want a movie of me as like an animation, like a Moana, but a Spencer. Yeah, that's just a rant, like rambling on, but one day.
No, cool. The amount that you've conquered in the past 2 years, extrapolate that 5 times over the next 10 years. I'm sure there's something there. Has anything happened with that Barbie thing? Have you got in touch with the team? Has your team got in touch with the Barbie or the Mattel team?
Without saying anything, I have talked to them.
Cool. Okay. We can leave it at that.
I'm like, I have talked to Mrs. Barbie.
Cool. And that's probably your LinkedIn reach outs.
It literally was.
Wild. Yeah. I love that. Such a fan. Okay, you talk about like watching movies in Hollywood and Barbie and all this stuff. And you said when you were 9, you started to pursue acting. What was that like? I feel like the acting and entertainment world is such a black box. Like you and I are in it, so we know a little bit more now than I think the average person. But when you're 9, what led you to say, I want to be a famous movie star? And 2, like, what was that experience like?
I wanted to start doing acting when I was like 5. Like, I've always wanted to do it. When I was in grade 3, the school play happened, and no grade 3 has ever been casted. They only cast people over grade 6. And I was like, no, that's not happening. So I marched my little butt to the music room, and I was like, I'm going to audition to be the narrator of It Was Into the Woods. I'm like, I'm going to be the narrator, like a huge role. And the teachers were like, you're in grade 3. And I was like, let me audition and you'll change your mind. So I auditioned, I got the role, and I was like, this is what I want to do. Like I said, I'm loud. I'm embarrassing. I'm cringy. I'm everything. Like, that's just who I am. And I've always been like that. So I did theater when I was younger. And then they have like speech competitions in elementary school. I did speech competitions, won the speech competition for my whole school, just went on to just be annoying and be loud and just be me. And then through doing theater, I jumped into wanting to do acting. My first job was literally hand modeling. So it wasn't what I was dreaming. And I was hand modeling for a boy. So I was being man hands. Interesting. And then I got a role when I was 13, and I got a role in a Family Channel show. So I actually played Spencer in a Family Channel show, and I was being myself. So that was an amazing role for me, and I was very happy with it. I did acting until I was probably about 16, and then I quit acting because I was getting bullied for doing acting in high school and being on Family Channel while I was in high school, which really took a toll on my confidence. So then I quit doing what I liked doing because I took comments from other people. And nowadays, Spencer would never do that. So I just haven't really gotten back into acting. And that's another reason I'm so passionate about confidence, is like, I've seen myself let go of my own dreams, my own goals, because someone's tore down my confidence, that now I'm like, nah, anyone who follows me, like, that's not happening. No, we're not stopping our goals, stopping our dreams, because insecure people are making fun of you. Like, we're not doing that. But acting was interesting. Acting was a lot of rejection, a lot of auditioning and being told you're wonderful, but not for this role. And when you're like 10 years old and you think you did an amazing job and then you're being told you didn't get the role, I think that built confidence too, because I was used to hearing no so many times. And then when I did book a role, it was amazing. And I loved acting. I really did. And I think that's a part of my life that I'm going to get back into next year. Just seeing as like I took, I don't know, it's been like 4 years now that I haven't done it. So I think it'd be fun to jump on into it again.
Feel now the fact that you have 8.3 million followers on TikTok and over millions on other platforms. I feel like you have a lot more leverage now to get into, at least have the conversations with the people that you'd want to talk to. Is acting on the 2023 plan?
It is on the 2023 plan for me. Yeah.
Whoa. Cool. Cool. What else? I don't know if you're the type of person that doesn't like to speak about the things you want to do, but if you are, what else is on the 2023 plan?
I am the kind of person who loves to speak about it. People always like, don't speak, like show your actions, don't speak. No, I tell everyone everything. And I'm terrible at keeping my secrets. Acting is definitely a thing that I want to be doing. I want to get into modeling. I have never done modeling, but I love being in front of a camera and I love taking photos. It's just a huge like, passion of mine. I think it would be really cool if I started my own podcast. Would be something that I would be very into doing. I just don't know where to start, but I will learn. But I think that would be towards the end of the year. I have a very busy year coming up, even just with having my own clothing brand. But I think acting, modeling, and then a lot of YouTube videos of renoing my house, like redoing it and everything. So I'm going to become a Bob the Builder this year and build a house. So I think YouTube's also going to happen. I've never really posted on YouTube consistently. I think YouTube will happen too.
Yeah. Damn, that is a lot to achieve, but I'm sure it'll happen. How do you, like, what's your measurement of success in life? Does it go by views? Is it something bigger, something smaller? So how do you measure success?
It used to be by views. And then I would be like, wow, I'm really sad. Like, I can't keep up with all these views. It used to be by a number, but I think that I can't measure by a number anymore because like you'll never be satisfied and you'll never be happy. So I think now I definitely measure just by how we feel. Like I feel if I'm happy, if I'm doing what I love and I get to hang around the people that I love. For me, it was a really big thing for me to buy my house because I've always wanted to buy a house. So that to me was like I feel successful, I feel happy. But it can't be by views, it can't be by number, it can't be by the amount of followers, or it can't be by money either. Like none of that to me at all anymore. It's just, am I happy? Do I feel like I'm doing something good in the world? Are people telling me that what I'm posting is making them feel happy, making them feel confident? So I don't know if there's really a way to measure success, but also like crossing things off your bucket list feels really good.
How often are you taking a step back to evaluate like where you are today and if it's where you want to continue to go? Because you seem like someone who has a lot of awareness, and I would assume that you're not just blindly being like, I'm just going to do this and then only do this for the rest of life. So how do you evaluate if like where you are today is where you ideally want to be in 1, 2, 3, 5 years?
Yeah, I'm always trying to write a bucket list and manifest and write down my goals. I'm a really firm believer in writing them down, not just to like get them out of your head and like get it done, but actually to hold yourself accountable so that you can look back and be really proud of yourself when you do get to cross it off your list. So I write down all my goals would be what I would do, in my opinion. Like that's just something I always do.
Yeah, yeah. And you spoke a little earlier about like body positivity. That's a really big thing, part of your brand, the content you create. And it was cool to hear how you were saying you gain confidence by teaching other people how to be confident and like they kind of fuse together. I'm sure you get messages all the time of like, thank you so much. Or like, oh, like you're the person that knows what I'm going through. What's that like to receive those like deeply emotional messages for something that you've done for maybe people that you haven't even met?
It feels so special. And even if I meet people and they'll come up to me in real life and tell it to me, it just feels like so special and so emotional because it's I'm finally doing exactly what I'm dreaming of doing and exactly what I wanted to do. And that's the goal. Like, that's how I would measure success, is how I'm making other people feel. It feels like so special. And I try to read as many messages as I can, because it like is just so important to me to love the people who support me. And I would be nowhere without anyone. Like, I wouldn't be me. I wouldn't have my following. I wouldn't be even as confident as I am today. Like, as much as my followers have done so much, like, for me, or as much as I've helped them, sorry, my followers have done way more to help me. And even when I'm having a bad day, like, they pick me up. It's just like a family, a friend group. Like, it means so much to me.
Yeah. So you see the followers that you do have as a community.
Yes. Like, I think we're a very good community. And even some of my followers, like, in the comments, reply back to each other, like, becoming friends. And I love to see that this platform has, like, made other friendships.
Yeah. Do you go beyond social to connect these people in your followers who are part of your followers that do connect with your story and that you do impact, to go further with them, to either meet them or connect them or do Zoom calls or things like that to go further with that community?
I've done a couple, like, meet and greets, and I do, like, giveaways and stuff, but I haven't done, like, Zoom calls or anything. But I definitely, I'm like, I've never been like, no, I don't want to meet you. Like, I don't want to take a photo with you. I'm always like, yes, hi, what's your name? Like, thank you so much. I don't really go live or anything either. I feel like super stressed by going live. So just replying back to comments, replying back to DMs, and then always saying hi to people in real life.
Mm. Do you find that there is a lot of pressure having to be, like, now you know that you're so much to so many people that you have to continue that, like, the pressure to sustain what you've continued to do for a lot of these people?
That, and also, like, my pressure to make videos that are as good as my other videos. Or sometimes I'll watch my old videos and be like, your videos suck now. Like, they're terrible. Like, you suck. Which is, like, a shit way to feel about yourself. But I feel this pressure to, I've posted 3 videos a day, every day for 2 years now on TikTok. Like, I have made a lot of content, and I feel that pressure to post so many. Or I usually post my last video around 5, and then some people will comment and be like, now I'm sad because there's no more videos for today. And I want to keep making videos, but also it's just this pressure to keep up with the same amount of content as I have out, and the same just, I don't know, like, drive. And I just want to keep making people happy, but at what extent? Because sometimes I, like, make myself really, really tired or, like, really exhausted, really burnt out by trying to keep it up. But then I also remember my followers just also want me to be happy. As much as I'm friends with them, they're also friends with me. They don't want me to feel like shit just to make an extra video or to make me feel really burnt out. It's definitely in my head, I'm pretty mean to myself sometimes, being like, why do 8 million people follow you? Like, why do they do that? Oh, like, what? Do you deserve this? But also, that's just self-sabotage. And then I'm like, shut up. You deserve it. You did it. Like, they're obviously there for a reason.
So then how do you come up with so many? You say 3 times a day. That like, that's crazy. How do you come up with so many ideas?
I've always been just, like, a very creative person, and my ideas always come to me at night. So I'll literally, like, wake up at 4 a.m. and be like, write this in my notes, like, make this video. And I think it's like, I've been so used to doing it that now it doesn't seem like a lot. Like, whenever I say to somebody else, or I was talking to, like, TikTok Canada, and we were just going over, like, my analytics or anything, and they're like, you've posted 3 videos a day. Like, that's crazy. Like, how do you do it? But I'm like, I'm just used to it. It's like, you just get so used to, I don't work out, but it's like, if you ran 5K every day, like, it would just feel like nothing eventually. You know what I mean? You just get, like,
yeah,
used to it.
Wild. It goes back to what you were saying. Like, you treat this as a job. Like, this is it's like you go to work and there's things you have to do. And, like, these are the things that you have to do, which is wild.
Don't get me wrong. I love making 3 a day. Sometimes I'm like, I wish I could post more, because I'm like, honestly, just, it's me and my phone. Like, this is, like, my best friend. We're just making videos all day. I love it.
So wild. I can't imagine, to your point of, like, when someone says, man, like, I can't imagine making 3 videos a day. It's like, okay, 1 podcast a week is great.
It's really fun. And then when you live alone and you have nobody else to talk to, talking to your phone feels normal. You just get used to it.
So does this mean that in the future you're going to continue to live alone so that like you have to post your 3 videos a day?
Sure, honestly. No, okay. I love living alone anyways. Everyone always asks me if my boyfriend's moving in. I'm like, he's not. I love living alone. I get it done. Like, I get my work done if I'm alone.
Yeah, if you guys want me to keep posting 3 videos a day, maybe more, make sure he never moves in.
Literally, because I can't be the crazy person talking to my phone.
Fair enough. Well, it's the type of thing. It's like, what's that saying? If a tree falls in a forest but no one's around, like, did it make a sound? It's like, if no one's around to see you make cringy video, like, did you actually make a video? I don't know. You're the only one that knows.
Exactly.
Talk to me about something bigger. You brought it up a couple times. Your clothing line. You're saying that. No, you're really involved in the process. You even said before you started creating content, you were doing something with clothes. Like, what does something bigger mean to you?
Well, we were just talking about community. I think that's a different way that I've also built really tight community is, so I have like my own following, but then my brand also has like 108,000 followers, I believe. And that's been a community where we've become way tighter and way closer. These people are like literally wearing the designs that I've made, and they're becoming friends. We post like recipes. People make the recipes we post. We'll post giving away Starbucks gift cards. Like, it's just a way for me to build a tighter community. And it really is all about community and then clothes. Like, it's not buy my clothes, join the community. It's like, join the community. I hope you can make friends from this community. And I've even had a lot of girls send me photos and like videos of them and all their friends wearing something bigger. So it'll be like a group of 6 girls all wearing my hoodies. And that's just another thing that's brought me closer to them, but also brought people closer to each other because they've bonded over this community of girls loving themselves. And it really is like our bestseller is treat yourself like someone you love. And then there's talk to yourself like someone you love. It's really a community just trying to teach girls to embrace their bodies, but also realize like your body is just a shell. Like, you have to talk to yourself like someone you love if you ever want to learn how to love yourself.
You keep saying we or our related to the brand. Do you have a team?
Yeah, it's like me and a group, like another company that's working with me to help me. Because some people think that I'm like packing every order. I couldn't physically do. I'm like, I wouldn't sleep. Like, I mean, I could try. I've packed a lot of orders. I have been to Utah because my clothing brand's out of Utah. I have been to Utah and packed a lot of orders, but I do have a team and it's a family-owned business. So it's like I work with other siblings. Like, there's like a brother and a sister that work together. And it really is like a team and they've become my family as well. It's not like I'm just working with a random merch company. Like, I went to Utah, I stayed at their family cabin, met their mom and dad. Like, it's really, they are just as invested in this brand as I am.
How did you find them?
They actually reached out to me through Instagram DMs, and then we hopped on a couple calls, and now they're like literally my family and I love them.
So wild. How do you think about coming out with clothes? Like, it sounds like there's a lot of intention around it. And so do you think of it in capsules? It's like, oh, every year there's a theme. Is it just whenever there's a new piece or a new thought that means a lot to you, you're going to find a way to create something that represents that moment or that feeling or that saying?
Before I dropped this clothing brand, there had been a lot of like merch companies that reached out to me and were like, if you sell this, this, and this, like, you'll make so much money. And it wasn't until I found a brand that was like, we want to build a community. It's not about the money. Like, for me, making my own clothing brand wasn't like, I'm going to sell this many things and make this much money. And I needed to find a team that wasn't about the money as well, but they actually loved my community and they loved what I stood for. So I'm like, I don't know where I'm going with this question, but I just had to build a brand that wasn't about like the money, wasn't about making a clothing brand. It's all about community to me. We've released a lot of designs at this point, but right now we're really rolling with talk to yourself like someone you love and treat yourself like someone you love. There isn't like a, every week we drop a new design, every two, like we don't have that. It's just when feels right, when works for our community. But like aside from dropping clothes, we also just like are trying to teach people to love themselves.
Yeah. It must be really beneficial having the brand kind of live alone. Like, yes, it's SB, but it stands for something bigger. And so if I come across it, I don't have to know who you are. Like, I can still be a part of the community. I can still interact, but you don't have to put your face in front of it all the time.
I wanted to build a brand that stood alone and it wasn't just Spencer Barbosa merch. Like, I didn't want that. I wanted Spencer Barbosa, something bigger, like two separate things, both have the same message. And obviously, like, I own it and I like posting it and I make it, but it's also like so different that if people found that brand, they didn't just buy it because it's me. I didn't want that at all. I wanted to have like actual cute designs and not have my face on it and not have my name on it. I just wanted it to be able to stand alone. So I'm like really grateful that you noticed that too. I'm like, that's the goal. So I'm
Well, I think there's something really powerful there too, right? You talk about building confidence and you talk about being respected regardless of what your age is and regardless of if you're a creator who can't get a credit card or an accountant who can. Like, this is a business that you're building and you're selling these clothes and you have profit from it and you're trying to figure out materials and sourcing and operations. Like, that's something probably pretty powerful to point to. If someone's like, what are you doing? Like, your mom bought you this house and you're like, all right, cool. You see this thing over here? Like, that's my brand. Like, I sold X amount or I've done X amount. It must be really empowering.
It feels empowering, but I also still get comments of like, you call that a clothing brand? Like, what do you stuck a design on? Like, they only sell it because you have followers. Like, I just learned recently, no matter what I do, no matter how hard I work, somebody's going to hate it. And it's usually people who aren't like happy with themselves who hate your stuff. I definitely thought when building this, I'm like, people are going to show me some more respect. Like, I've built a business, but just don't ever expect respect because you won't get it, is what I've learned.
It's fair advice. I want to ask you one more thing about someone. And then I've got five questions to end it. And then you can go make your three TikTok videos a day and keep achieving everything you want to achieve. All right, I'm going to give you a name. And I want you to tell me what this person means to you or what comes to mind. Taylor Swift.
Powerful girl boss. Like, this girl has raised me. Through her music, she has raised me. But I've also seen how intelligent she is. Like, she...
In what ways? Can you give me examples?
Like, she's built an entire kingdom. I feel like I can learn so much from her, and her followers don't just, I love Taylor Swift. No, they love Taylor Swift. She has somehow made her community feel so close to her just through like sharing her life, and everything that she does is so relatable, and like the music that she releases is so relatable. So I feel like it's taught me that the more relatable and vulnerable I am, the closer that you can build a community. I'm like, she's just raised me, the queen, like honestly. I love her, and I've made my dad become a Swiftie. I've made my entire family become a Swiftie, and I think she's just a great role model. I love Taylor Swift.
All right, so I gotta add, I'm a big music fan too, and definitely have tons of respect for Taylor Swift. What type of music Taylor Swift is your favorite? Pop, folk, country? Maybe there's others that I just don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think I could really pick one. My favorite.
Okay. It's sacrilegious.
I'm like, I can't pick one that I'm hating on something else. I think I've honestly just loved everything because I've loved to see her grow from just making like country music when she was younger. I don't think I could pick one. I just love to see like everything go down. And I honestly love her most recent album a lot. And I just love also another thing is how she does so many like Easter eggs and how her releasing something is like, oh, what's going on? Like, everyone is so invested, and that is such a cool thing to build. And I would love to have that. And if I was ever releasing something, if I ever release music, I would love my followers to be like so involved in it and be like, oh, this means this, and this song is about this person. And like, that's so interesting to me. It's like an entire story.
Yeah, it's almost like she builds a world that doesn't exist, but to her fans, it's as real of a world as it is as the one that we live in.
I literally love her. I mean, I'm a big fan. And a big fan of not just her music, but her as a person and the everything she's built. And so many of her songs are so powerful. Like, The Man just literally sums up what it feels like to be a woman sometimes. In like, we were talking about ageism, we were talking about sexism, and so many of her songs are her just being like, I'm like so sick of working so hard and nobody acknowledges it. And I do it, and because I'm a woman, it doesn't matter. But if somebody else did it, it would be wonderful and the best thing in the world. I'm like, I love Taylor.
Well, rightfully so. There's actually a great podcast that breaks down her whole career and her businesses. It's called the podcast is called Acquired FM. They usually break down tech businesses, but for some reason, they broke down Taylor Swift. And it is like two and a half hours, and it's phenomenal. And so to your point of like learning, holy shit, more than just an artist, more than just the icon, but the person that is so smart and so calculated for the best of reasons. If you haven't listened to it, I think you will
you'll love it.
Yeah, I will. I definitely will. All right, five questions to end it off, and then we're good. First question, where do you find yourself being the most creative? Like what environment?
When I'm home alone in my house.
Okay, cool. Second question is, and I'll let you choose because I don't know if you're more into books or more into music, but what has been a very impactful album from either an artist that you love or a book from an author that you love?
I'm going to pick a song. The Man by Taylor Swift is like my anthem.
Respect. The third thing is, if you were to be given the opportunity to give a TED Talk, either what would it be titled or what would you talk about?
I would talk about the importance of confidence and that if you're confident, you can do anything. Like you can actually do anything.
Cool. Like that a lot. All right. The last two are kind of similar. And don't bust yourself if you can't come up with something. Is one, who is an underrated creator in your eyes?
There is a girl from the UK whose name is Olivia. Olivia Kirby. I think her last name is Kirby. I love her content so much. I think she has less than 1 million followers and I love her content and she is so authentic and she makes the same kind of content as me, like body image and loving yourself. And she also talks about eating disorders and I think her content is wonderful and she's so underrated.
Have you guys connected?
Yeah, we're friends. I'm like, she follows me. I sent her my clothing brand too. This is like I love you so much.
So cool. All right, the last question again, kind of similar, but a little bit different. Who is a creator right now that you would invest in if you could? If you could just give them the resources because you believe in what they're doing and where they're going to go.
Like, can I shout out my friend right now? My friend.
Yeah, of course.
She's just getting into content creation right now. She's just building her media kit and everything. Her name is Julia. She owns Allura Lounge, which is a clothing brand. So we both, it's like amazing to be friends with somebody who also owns a business. So she owns Allura Lounge. She's just getting into doing content creation. I literally told her to sign up for hashtag paid. She is amazing. She puts so much heart and soul into everything. She came with me to Florida and she took a lot of my content for me in Florida. She's just amazing.
Yeah, you can shout it out for sure.
If you search Allura Lounge on Instagram, she's making her own personal account right now and growing that herself. But it's just, she's such a kind person in real life. She's literally sunshine. Like it's every person that I've ever known who's met her just loves her instantly because she's the kindest person in the entire world. And that just radiates through her content. I'm like, I love her so much. I could literally cry. She's wonderful.
All right. Well, I will definitely check her out. And for everyone listening. Okay. Yeah. And for everyone listening, definitely check her out. Give her the flowers. Spencer, this has been so cool. It's been awesome getting to know more about you and just hearing your perspective on a lot of things. We'll go back to ageism. It's wild that you're 20 years old with like having achieved so much and still having so far to go based off of the things you want to achieve. That it'll be interesting to watch the journey. We're fans at hashtag paid of you. And so just keep doing your thing. And the last episode of Creator Culture Season 3 in 2022 is done. I took away a lot from that episode, but the one thing that I took away is that here is someone who has developed such confidence in themselves and developed such a unique perspective of this is who I am. I'm going to play to me and I know who I am at such a young age. And so you look at the amount of energy she doesn't have to put towards trying to figure this out or going on that journey and trying to figure out, am I trying to become something someone else wants me to become? Or am I trying to become something that I want to become? And when you take all that energy and all that time and thought that a lot of us go through throughout our careers, and if you tally all that up and you can give that person time back, all that time back to go do something else, Imagine how powerful that is. You can even hear in the episode, Spencer's putting time towards becoming a better businesswoman, a better photographer, videographer, scriptwriter, actress. You can tell that so much of this effort that we spend all day, she's kind of figured out and reallocating that to become a better creator, to be better in her career, to do more of what she loves. And it's so impressive to see. If more creators could do this, ooh, the industry could be even stronger than it is today, and it's wild to see how far it's come. Well, with that, again, thank you for sticking around and listening to Season 3, Creator Culture in 2022. There's an interesting twist happening next year when we come back for Season 4. But for the time being, if you're here and you continue to be here, thank you for listening. If you wouldn't mind leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, it would mean the world. Again, thank you for spending time here. It has been an absolute blast, an absolute pleasure, and I'm very excited for what's coming next because it's going to be a bit of a switch up, but still all around creators. Have an awesome week. Catch you soon.